Hello and welcome to another episode of Tubes. I don't know why I said it like that with that weird inflection.
You got
Podcast where we talk
the
about podcast where we talk about games, video games, gaming industry, whatever we want to talk about. My name is Devin.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Dominic.
And Zach.
And for our last installment of the Elder Scrolls episodes, we of course have
It's Joe.
it's fucking Joe.
I don't know what you want to do, you guys. My name's Joe. My name's Joe.
What if any of those really work? I mean,
Oh, sorry. I just say man, Joe. There we go.
yeah,
Wait, do you
cool.
want to give another one, and we'll just edit out all of this, and we'll just put this one in there.
Yeah.
Give us another one. Cool.
Joe.
Got it.
Actually, leave all this in, please.
All right. Usual intro. What kind of games are y'all excited for? What have you been playing? I know this is third episode from same day, and we'll hit you up, Kevin.
Well, you know what I need to hit up just a little bit is Smash Ultimate. I haven't played it in a while, and I've been
Oh.
accruing the new characters because I have the little pass thing. I need to go back and check them out. Probably not gonna like them. I'm probably still gonna only play like my five dudes that I always play, but I need to go back and
Yeah.
check it out. It's a good time.
You gotta
Yeah, I
have
just played a
mains.
match the other day and I was like, oh, this is fun. But I mean, there's a reason why it's if I had friends to play it with locally, I'd play it more, but
Yeah, probably so.
it is Dominic.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. I found out about this game like yesterday. Have y'all heard of Goose Game?
Yes.
Oh my God. For those of you who aren't familiar, I think it's just called Untitled Goose Game. It's on Steam. It's released for just late 2020. And it's this little game where you are a goose and you're running around just fucking with all these different people in a small village, and it's some of the funniest stuff out there right now. If you look at any like people who have like an early release copy or something like that, one of the
I
funniest
thought it
things
was
that I'm
already
ready for.
released.
What's that?
I did too.
I thought it
I
was
thought it
already
was,
released.
yeah. I
I
thought it was
haven't,
released as well.
maybe just not on Steam, but if it's
Yeah.
already out, then I need to
It's on
hop on that pr-
Switch.
Oh, that's right. I need to hop on that pretty quick then.
Hit us up, Zach, with your game.
I'm actually looking forward to the new Pokemon coming out next month.
Sword and Shield,
Oh,
right?
shoot. That
Yep.
is next month.
Yeah.
Oh,
Or I
wow.
guess technically 2 months, but
Close enough.
2 month or one next month by the time this episode releases. Yeah.
Yes. Pulling back
Okay, all right,
the
gotcha. It's somewhere out there in the ether. Is it
curtain.
gonna be on the? It's on the Switch, right?
Switch only. Yeah.
Switch only. Have they released a Switch Lite yet?
Yes, I
Yes.
have.
Okay, so I imagine it'll also be on the Switch Lite. So
Well,
either
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the same
any
thing,
form,
just.
yeah, any form of Switch is what it'll be on. Joe, what you got for us?
I have been super excited to be getting back into some retro gaming. So I want to probably be hitting up some Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons
Oh,
whenever I
man.
find that little gem. And in the meantime, just awaiting the release for the Halo franchise on PC. So.
Oh, hell
Hell
yeah.
yeah.
I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah.
I had a game in my head and then I immediately lost it. I don't remember what it was.
Nice.
Crap. Oh yeah, with Halloween coming up, oh Halloween, October coming up, I'm gonna be playing Lone Survivor. It's a pretty interesting, trippy game. A little bit scary. I'm excited to get into it. I've never actually beaten it. I don't even know how far I've gotten in it. I don't remember. But I'm gonna be streaming it, so it'll be fun. So this is our third and final installment on the Elder Scrolls series. We'll be talking about the one, the only, the released 20 different times Skyrim that originally released in 2011 for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC.
Lord.
11-11-11.
11-11-11. What a fateful day. Do y'all remember? Did any of y'all go to the midnight release of that?
I did not.
No.
But I got my game, like, that next morning. Because I was actually out of town, and I was really upset that I couldn't go to the release.
Yeah,
I think
so
we pre-ordered it.
I actually went to the midnight release, midnight premiere of it, and got home, played about 30 minutes to an hour of it, and then was like, okay, I need to get off and go to sleep, because I think school was the next day. I don't think it released on the weekend.
No, I think it was a weekend. Was if not, it? I didn't get it till that weekend.
Well, I just remember it was like one of the last games that I went and... went. I think that was the last game I went to a midnight release for.
Because
I can't think of it. Because I know I went for Halo.
Yeah, it was a Friday.
Was it a Friday?
Yep.
Okay, well then, yeah. Well then, I stayed up all night playing. I was like, okay, if it released on a weekday, I know I got home and played it. My brother and I went and did that, and then we got home and we played. Probably played the hell out of it.
I remember my brother was there on the midnight release. He actually didn't pre-order it. He was going out with somebody who worked at GameStop. And so they were like, yeah, we've got our hands full with all these people, but we've got this little demo thing set up. Do you want to just play Skyrim for everybody waiting to get Skyrim? And he was like, sure. So everybody, it was like this funny story of him just like, I don't know what to do. Everybody's like, go fight the giant, and just absolutely getting his shit rocked. And then that's why he got the game later.
Nice.
And then him getting the game, like I said a couple episodes ago, I was playing Fallout, and I looked over and I was like, oh, it's so colorful. I want to play Fallout, but not everything be dead, so I'm going to get Skyrim.
I want to say this was one of the most anticipated games of the year. As far as like AAA titles go, if I remember correctly, because I remember like
for that when year,
when Skyrim came out, and I think for probably like maybe a year or two after, I was absolutely enchanted. Like the moment I picked it up.
I mean, everyone's been enchanted with Skyrim since it came out. There's a reason why it has been released on. I mean, it's been released on every single console. It's had on the PC. It's had like 3 or 4 re-releases.
Yeah.
On every single console has had 3 re-releases where it's like, here's the Skyrim, here's the Legendary Edition, ad nauseum, here's
the Alexa port.
The Alexa port. here's your Soulja game port for it. It's crazy how, I mean, this game is 8 years old, almost 8 years old, and it's still, I'm pretty sure people still log like weekly hours, if not daily hours on it. It's definitely a hard game to put down and walk away from entirely, because it always looms over. It's like, hey, I'm really easy to play. I'm really easy to get into, and it's really enthralling, and it's such a beautiful landscape. All right, let's start with some talking points, whatever y'all want to throw something out there. Anything.
I mean, if we're talking about Xbox, which is how my first experience of playing Skyrim was, I mean, for me, I was like, what? I can use both triggers for weapons now? Oh my goodness. And, like, give me a sword in both hands. I want 2 swords, not just one, not just a sword and a shield, or whatever that I have to do in Oblivion. Those days are over. and then I just remember, I mean, it was so much fun because, like I said, either stealth archer or big dude smash things. I went ahead and my first playthrough was like, let me try and build up stamina so I can hold down the triggers and do a power attack for as long as possible. There was something that was just so satisfying about that in an Elder Scrolls series where you normally have to really, really work it. To try and get through combat sometimes.
Well, the other games had power attacks.
Yeah, but like the dual wielding. I'm sorry, I wouldn't be very descriptive. The dual wielding power attacks where you start to spin and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, where you go into Beyblade mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you do like the swipe, 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 all that kind of stuff. It was good.
Yeah, so you found like it was mostly like an invigorating, like, holy shit, this is like they made a lot of good quality of life changes that you've been looking for, or what?
Only because I never felt like, I never had the confidence when I was playing Oblivion that I could just run into somewhere and wreck shop. And I don't know if that was because I didn't pay attention to my build at all when I was playing Oblivion, or I had the difficulty set higher than I was prepared for. But again, one of the things that will become my, you know, negatives later down the line for Skyrim is something that I actually enjoyed at the beginning, which is if you want to build health and stamina, the game will respond very, very well to you just running in and trying to wreck stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get some thoughts from Zach.
Well, this was my first Elder Scrolls game, so I went in kind of not really knowing anything at all. And I was pretty much like, y'all, kind of just blown away with everything that was available. You could just kind of go anywhere, do anything, build whatever you want. Sort of any kind of playstyle you wanted, you could really do. And, I mean, like most people, I went Stealth Archer first playthrough. And sneak around, steal stuff, take things out from far. Pretty fun. It's probably my, like, the greatest game I had played around that time. And I put a lot of hours into it on the PS3.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
Well, this was the first, like, real foray into Elder Scrolls. Like I said, I played a bit of Oblivion, but never really got to experience the full package. Now I got to come into this game and feel like, oh, I've got this whole world to explore. So at the time, it was just, I had nothing to compare it to. It was the biggest game I had ever just rolled into, and just everything was open and crazy and all that wonderful stuff. And I do remember starting out, in my opinion, the starting out was a lot more streamlined because, and I might have some disagreement from you guys here, but the fact that you just have your stats and you do the thing and you get better at your stats, and then that dictates your overall level, that and the lack of a class system, the lack of having to make definite decisions immediately, I really liked how fluid that was. And so for me, in my experience, I was like, well, I don't know anything about this game yet, so I don't want to make any decisions on how I'm going to play. And the way it's designed is, hey, the thing you happen to do the most will also be the thing you're best at. And I really liked that approach, at least starting out. I liked how easy it was to get into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get some words in from Dominic.
Yeah, like I said earlier, as soon as I picked this game up, I was absolutely enchanted. One of the bigger things for me was, being able to sort of put yourself in a mindset of like, what kind of character do you want to be from the get-go, and just sort of sticking with it and rolling with it. What ended up becoming an issue for me further down the line was the ability to just sort of have access to most of everything as you wanted it, which we can go into a little bit later. But what kind of became the most fun for me was kind of like in the previous episode talking about Oblivion, just going out and just exploring this new harsh environment and sort of feeling it. You know, there's a little bit of immersion to go on in Skyrim that was pretty interesting in the beginning. You know, you have the harshness of the north, right, and how snowy and dangerous it all is, and the progression of the true, like, the Dragonborn storyline was really, really interesting as well when first starting out. But I can feel. I can almost feel it was exactly when I completed the first story mission, the first time, doing the main quest line, And afterwards, I hadn't really done like Thieves Guild or Dark Brotherhood or anything like that, or the I want to say I did the Champions because you were sort of required to, which we'll probably talk about that later as well. But after finishing the game, I didn't feel special anymore. Like once it's sort of like once you are like the best that you could possibly be in the game, it's like, okay, now the rest of it just sort of feels mundane, and that's sort of
suffering from success, DJ Khaled.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. My
it's lonely
arc
at the top.
Is that's my whole arc with it. Is I played the game, and at first it's like, okay, things can kill you, things are dangerous. Like you find a giant pretty early on, and they're pretty dangerous, but it doesn't take an incredibly long amount of time to have a majority stake in the universe and pretty much own half of the world and have all the money you could ever need and all the things you could ever need. And mm-hmm. you're super strong and nothing's threatening you. Even the strongest dragons in the game are not going to really pose much of a threat to you. And it's about that time that I go, all right, well, I'm going to stop playing. Maybe if Skyrim is lucky, I might restart and just start a new run. But more mm-hmm. often than not, I'm just going to go, all right, well, there's no challenge here. There's nothing for me to do here. I'm gone. See ya.
Yeah, and that happens to be kind of a lot of what y'all are saying right now is like stuff I kind of want to focus on, like back half discussion, because there's a lot that I want to say about the depth of Skyrim and it's kind of how it pushes you into the narrative and really how the narrative flows. But so some like first. Because I kind of really can't think of first impressions that I had other than, like y'all said, I was enthralled by it and enchanted by it. And it's, I will say that a lot of the menu system, way better. The yeah. map system, gorgeous. It's actually a live map that if there's a cloud above you and you go into the map, you will see that cloud. If there's a dragon and like it's dragons will show up on the map, and if you notice, like after you slay the dragon and like it burns away, you'll see it on the map. If mm-hmm. if you go to the map, the magic system is okay. It can be pretty lackluster at times trying to level it up, especially like starting off with just like flames and. The magic's okay. There's no creating custom magic spells, so, and also the spells are very limited and not that interesting. You have some like mines that you can lay now, which is interesting, but they're pretty bland. It's like here's because each of them follow like the same pattern. It's like you have flames, and then you have like fireball, and then inferno, and like. That's pretty much like you have your three levels of spells for each element, and that's kind of it when it comes to destruction magic.
They do have the master tier spells, which you can't get until you've maxed out that class or that skill. So like once you get like 100 destruction, you can go get your master level spell. And it's like a super fire nova thing that hits everyone
yeah,
around you.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's like you're going Super Saiyan spell, mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but like there's not. It's just because even in Oblivion, you had some really interesting spells with like poison touches, and you can put frenzy on people, which you could put frenzy on people in Skyrim as well. I just the magic system just isn't as verbose as in other games. But the crafting system, I do enjoy the crafting system. This is like the precursor to the Fallout 4 crafting system. I feel like the crafting system in Skyrim is really kind of bare bones, but also just really good. I wish that they had. I like armor maintenance and equipment maintenance. Because it adds another level to just to your playing that, like, okay, this is something that I have to think of because I can't just sit here and swing my sword all day long because it's going to break so I'd let me go grab a hammer, have a hammer with me. And even in the old games, you had to be level 50 armor in order to repair your magic weapons. So then it's like, okay, well, I need to hurry up and train to level 50. Otherwise, I just have to sit here and go pay for armor, like go pay for armor upkeep. And it just kind of adds like another layer to how you have to think as a player. And it kind of strips that away, but it does allow you to make your own weapons. It allows you to make your own armor. And again, you can, one of the things that really drew me the first time for a long time was the lack of character classes. I was a little bit iffy about the lack of character classes.
Right.
Because I actually do enjoy having character classes, and we'll talk more about this later. But it really is interesting when it's like, okay, halfway through, let me, you know, oh, I'm this big swinging dude, but this one illusion spell would really help me out. So let me train illusion so I can get there. Or, you know what, I'm going to also make poisons and just poison people to where they just die quicker from like two hits. It's, it's really liberating, but it's also, it has its up and downs.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. Definitely. There's a lot of like cross discipline stuff, but there's also some downfalls to it, which we can get to later.
Exploration in this game. Holy shit. Like, this is some of the best exploration ever. I love how a lot of these places they've made them so personal, like a total departure from Oblivion, where everything is bleak and the same. In Skyrim, you have every single place that you go to has some little quirk to it, and it's some little personality to it. Like, there's one random bandit cave that you can go up to. And the guy guarding the door on the inside, he's blind. And he has his autobiography book that he's writing. There's nothing in it. It's a blank book. It's his journal. It's just like his journal, and it's blank. And it's fucking hilarious that they just throw stuff like that in there. And because every place you go to, it's like you can sneak up on bandits talking to each other, and they're talking about maybe one of the people, like the head guy of their gang. They're like, oh, you know, don't let him hear you talking crap about him, or else. And then like you go up there, of course, and wreck their shit. But it's an interesting to hear that that interplay between these characters, that otherwise they're just there and nameless, and they're just goons. But it gives them some life.
For sure, I did want to make a note of like the what we were talking about, like the one of the big things for me was when you can go out and explore and see the world, you can go, and they kind of separate it pretty evenly. Like the top third is essentially like all harsh frozen wilderness. The bottom, like sort of the middle third, is like sort of plains and highlands and stuff.
Tundras.
Yeah. And then the bottom half is like rich forests.
Yeah.
And you sort of, you can see where these three landscapes really blend in together super well. And even in some places, like in the further south of the game, if you go to a high enough elevation, you're still technically on the northern part of the whole like globe. So it's still like super harsh, like cold and snowy mountains like all over. And I think seeing those little things here and there, and on top of that, even the ruins, right? Like the old like burial sites and stuff like that all over. At first, they were extremely, extremely, sort of like fun to just explore and delve into these old caves and caverns and all that. It made it really, really fun. I think the drawback for me, though, was at a certain point, you kind of, and well, obviously, a lot of it is just sort of redundancy. It's just like, Okay, yeah, I've seen this before. I'm familiar. And at a certain point, it gets a little redundant for me.
Well, I'm talking about, this is what I was going to say, talking about exploration and even piggyback on that. Getting introduced to Skyrim, thinking about the tiers of exploration that you have. I mean, you start off the game and like the first big thing that you're going to go through is probably something like Bleak's Falls Barrow. Mm-hmm. And like that to be going from Oblivion and what you get used to in Oblivion to having this sort of like strange crypt where there's some crazy magic stuff going on there and spiders and all kind of stuff like that. At starting level, that was so appropriate. But then, I mean, think about how you scale from that. I mean, you end up going from stuff like Draugr crypts up to, if you're trying to find any of the masks at any point, mm-hmm. those types of bigger dragon tombs and things like that you have to go through, those are incredible. And if you think about the next level, when you start getting even further in the north, you have the abandoned but still populated Dwemer dungeons and stuff like that, where you have the Thalmor and you get introduced to this whole other side of Skyrim. You know what I'm saying? It's like you start off in a scape that can get very pedantic. I mean, it's like you know exactly what's going on. You go in and it's the first layer of the tombs, and you go further in, and then you get stronger Draugr and all that kind of stuff, all the way leading up to, like, you find the Word of Power, and you get the big chest after you kill the Draugr Overlord or whatever. Yeah. But the further you go, I mean, to me, it starts to get absolutely brilliant when you talk about exploration. And then you have all those fun little parts in there where, there's a mine, there's an abandoned mine somewhere, or it's not abandoned and it has, you know, these kind of quirky bandits in it. It's just those layers there are fantastic. And to talk about, like, just going on the idea of first impressions, I mean, you have a game that's got all of that in it. And I played as a Nord, my first character, because I had to, because it's like, all right, so we're capitalizing, you know, so Elder Scrolls is moving towards, you know, we get to flesh out this very Nordic-inspired area, and there are dragons and Draugr and all this type of stuff. I mean, it's no wonder that it's being played so much still, because it has all the workings of a really fantastic game in terms of exploration and content. I agree, of course, with everything that's being said about the class systems. There are definitely ups and downs, but I think it all goes into this, and for negative reasons at the end, right, when you get too close to the top, right, then the sun burns you up, but when you're making your way up there, I mean, there's so much going on in Skyrim.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. On the point of having like all these different strata of there's this kind of cave and this kind of cave and this kind of cave and this kind of enemy and like this kind of experience. Like maybe not every cave feels different, but there are like different types of caves that, you know, if you go through, you will experience different things every time you go explore a new cave. So my advice to have a really good time is to immediately abandon the main quest and just go as far away from the beginning as possible and just start exploring that spot.
Yeah. And it's really incredible because there is a point and there's a couple, unfortunately there are a couple places where you could see it happen, where you get so big and so strong and so versatile in literally everything that there's a point where before you unlock some more part of the game, you're unstoppable. And then it sort of starts to scale against you after a while, and the scaling, the scale of your level versus the enemies around you, it just gets absolutely insane after a while.
And with that, let's break for some well, you know what else is insane?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll break for some ads and we'll be right back to I think the second half is going to be griping. So we'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back and angry.
We're going to prepare our complaints.
And we are back and we are going to start the gripe session. Now we're probably going to start talking shit about Skyrim, and this really comes from a place for me, it comes from a place of love because like this game could be so much more. It already is a lot. It envelops a lot and it's a really fun game to play. I'm not going to say at all that Skyrim is a bad game. I will say that Skyrim has elements that are poorly implemented and has elements that detract from what it is trying to be. With that being said, the elephant in the room, character creation. Kevin, yeah. Take it away.
All right. So, like I mentioned before, character creation. We don't have classes anymore. We don't really have, you know, any immediate decisions being made. And I love and hate this. It was good starting out. It felt really good going, oh, well, I don't know how to play this game yet. I don't want to make any decisions yet. But it kind of winds up being this sort of, you can do anything eventually. You can max out everything. There's no decisions to be made. It's just a matter of, you know, am I going to be the best in the world at this, or am I not going to be the best in the world at this? And I could be the best in the world at everything. There's not mm-hmm. much of a decision in terms of character building. It's easier starting out, but it winds up kind of biting it, you know, right in the ass toward the end.
Yeah, that's kind of my whole thing, is that it takes out the role-playing in that, like, you don't have, like, with the older games, it's like, I'm going to pick these skills, and these are the skills that define my character. It's my way of leveling up. It's my way of progressing. And now it's just, like you said, I can be the best at everything if I just want to. And so then it just, it doesn't really feel like, because kind of going back to what we said about Oblivion, where it's like, yeah, you can just not follow the quest marker, but that's like a self-imposed thing where it's like, no, I'm gonna be a warrior, and I'm just gonna focus on one hand, two hand, and shields, and like heavy armor and armor smithing, and I'm just gonna focus on like having to put self-imposed restrictions on you. It's not really what, to me, it's not really what role playing is, because like role playing is like, here's this world with these rules and these restrictions, and you have to mold yourself to this. And figure out your own path to where it's like, okay, I'm coming into this character, not like my character just exists in this world and he's a fucking god because he can shoot lightning through his fingertips while also cleaving your head off with a two-hand, because you also run into other people in this world, in the same world that you inhabit, that they are classes. Like they are, like, you have your mages. You have your fighters, you have your thieves. Like, that's what you have because that's what people dedicate their time to. That's mm-hmm. what people dedicate their skills, their lives, and to getting better at these things. And it's, to me, it's a little bit more realistic. It's like, if you're going to spend all your time training these skills, you're not going to have time to train these other skills. It's not going to be realistic to be this whole,
Jack, you know, of all
master,
trades. Yeah.
Well, master of all trades. That's because true. You can be master of all trades. You can obviously do a jack of all trades in any of the other games. Mm-hmm. But in Skyrim, you could be master of all, and it benefits you because there's no level cap, and you can get all perk points. How many perk points? There's like 200. No.
276, I believe.
So you theoretically can get to level 276. Although,
yeah,
the amount of experience to get up there is more and more and more and more.
Right.
But
yeah,
where is my role playing? Where is it whenever it comes into, I'm a stealth archer now. Well, I'm going to go and become a mage real quick. So that way I can go do this one thing. Let me join the fucking Bard's Champion College skills, and speak my way through everything.
I think the key point here is that making up rules and making up challenges for yourself is not your obligation as a player. Whenever you play a game like this, it shouldn't be a part of your it shouldn't be a part of the game to say, oh, well, we've only given you so much, now you make up the rules, or we've given you way too much, now you make up the restrictions. You know, it's not the obligation of the player to make their own world building challenges or anything like that. Like, in other words, it's just that, like, if you make challenges for yourself that inhibit most of the gameplay, you know, that's not the point of playing it. That should be like the biggest afterthought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something. There are two things going on. One, if you give that much availability in character creation, actually, there are a couple things, especially speaking from what Devin was saying. I mean, like, you end up having to ask yourself and receiving absolutely no answer to, like, what's my character? What is the role playing that's going on? Because, I mean, not a character isn't only what do I immerse myself into, but it's like, it's how you interact with the world. Like, there are specific avenues that open and close depending on what you've done. And I mean, we're going all the way back to Daggerfall when we're talking about, like, how many different language skills did he have going on there?
He had nine language skills.
That is nine different ways that you can alter how you benefit or don't from the game itself. And so it's like, what you end up getting in Skyrim is everyone has equal opportunity and is almost at times expected to just cheese the hell out of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to buff myself up as hard as I can, to say nothing of putting in a mod that lets me dual wield two-handed weapons.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to beef myself up as much as I can while at the same time having my restoration skill maxed out. So I'm just going to run around and destroy everything, and then like I'm a paladin in a fantasy MMO, just heal myself all the way through it, right? So there's no danger, there's nothing wrong. I can just go in there and hit my right and my left trigger as much as I want. You know, going back to what I said earlier, what I really enjoyed ended up kind of biting my experience in the ass because it didn't do anything. Because at the end of it, I mean, let's be honest, when you can be anybody, actually, like, there's nothing preventing you from being any character at once. You're essentially nobody. I mean, you go through everything, you've saved Sovereign Guard, and we've done a Call of Duty style. Well, the levels, you know, you can get high enough, you can get to 100 in a flash, apparently, in any of these categories that we have for the skills. So then what are we going to do? Well, instead of actually making the game such that the skills matter, like, in 100th increments, well, we're just going to do, like, what was it called in Call of Duty?
Prestige.
So the idea there is that, like what they did in Call of Duty, it was like, well, clearly you can get to the top so easy. We're just going to make something called Prestige where you just, you know, you put a little tick and then do it all over again. And I just think that really speaks volumes in terms of, well, all right, what are we expecting our characters to do and play in this game?
It's like they added that purely, they added that whole like prestiging a skill purely so you can get more levels in order to get more perk points. It's such a weird system.
It the idea of like a new game plus, right, works for something like Dark Souls or like something for what else has a new game plus? I think Hollow Knight has a version of new game. Oh no, never mind. But like a new game plus is there so that you can consistently challenge yourself, while not feeling like you're on top of the world. Because once you are like max level, or once you are the best at your class, the only thing that you can sort of do is start all over. And you can either start over completely and do a different path, or start over with how good you are right now and everything just gets harder. That's why Dark Souls New Game Plus works so well, because it's like you know that you're going to experience the same things over and over, but this time it's just in a much more challenging way. For Skyrim, it's not much of a challenge once you are like the best of the best and you sort of
I will say enemies become I hate this form of difficulty, which so many games do this, where let's just make the enemies tougher and not really more of a challenge, just they do more damage and have more health. And it really sucks, because you do get into late game where you're fighting a Draugr overlord and they can probably one-shot you, and you're sitting there and you have to dot 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 dot. So like it turns into like a 10-minute long fight with this thing, and you're just like, fucking die.
It's no longer a challenge. That's the problem.
It's tedious.
You just have to stand there long enough to win.
Yeah. And it's not fun.
And that's the point. It's like when something becomes tedious and in some cases just kind of boring, then it doesn't make the game fun. And the problem is that the first playthrough of Skyrim, and even the second playthrough, right, is so magical, and it's so amazing to explore. And once you've really sort of experienced everything, the replay value is just, it just kind of gets a little sour depending on what you do. Now, I will say, with the strong, strong community of workshop content, you know, the it's a double-edged sword, because yes, modifying the game can make the game more fun, but in some cases a good game shouldn't require modifications, right?
I don't think Skyrim requires modifications in order for it to be a more fun game. It's just that you have people that just love playing. Like I said, there's probably still people 8 years later logging daily hours on this game. And I mean, whenever you have a system that's probably the one good thing about Skyrim is how moddable it is that you can turn the game into something completely different. You could probably turn the game into Fallout 4 if you wanted, if you really wanted to work hard enough. I wouldn't say that's a tick against Skyrim, because again, it is 8 years old, so it's almost a decade old, and yeah, you're gonna have people that get bored with it and they want something new, and luckily there's a thriving modding community. So I would not count that against Skyrim. I feel like that's unfair.
Well, yeah, and I think it's also because, I mean, what's at stake there really is, like, if you have a community of people who are willing to put in time and effort in it, it's not because they hate it. I mean, and I'm not saying that you were saying this, Dominic. I'm just saying it's like when you really take something that you love and you want to make it better. I mean, because to me, like, thinking mods backwards is, okay, well, looking at Skyrim today, in 2019, like, what would it be lacking? Well, okay, there's Sky UI that you need to get that completely smooths out a lot of bugs and things like that that go on with Skyrim. And then you just take your pick, right? If you want graphics overhauls, if you want more characters, and I think that comes from a place of, let's add more content, because after a while, you know, it's aged and we've seen it all, right? And Ayla the Huntress is just not a gripping co-character anymore to fight alongside. So let's make up weird stuff and put stuff in there. I mean, I really appreciate what's going on, but and at the same time, I haven't gone back and played like a regular vanilla unmodded run through of Skyrim in a while, because I have been super interested in seeing what other people are putting out, because it makes the game, I mean, it updates it so incredibly.
I think that's fair to say. That's pretty true, and I can respect that idea, because it's in another case, you know, the other hand of it is you're right. It doesn't it's not as if the game is bad. That was the whole point from the beginning. The game isn't bad. And when you sort of deconstruct and reverse engineer the idea of modding the game, especially with this community in particular, it's pretty true. And I'll sort of amend my statement to say that, like, modifying the game, it can make the game, it can make your gameplay experience a lot better. But I can sort of conclude, I don't think it takes away from the experience of the base game. I think it's just that at a certain point, you can get sort of, you can get sort of tired of the monotony of how vanilla Skyrim plays. Not that it's a bad thing, but
I mean, I will say that I have like well over 250, maybe closer to 300 hours into Skyrim. So yeah, I mean, for me, there's some base game stuff that's really boring, but I mean that's. Again, I'll say it's been out for 8 years. A lot of people put a lot of time into it.
Yeah.
But let's move on. I want to talk about. I want to talk about story and how much this game doesn't react to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you kind of, like, so, I get really frustrated with this game when it comes to thinking about. Okay, here's the mage's guild quest line. I show up, and this person's like, "Oh, you want in? Well, show me how to do this basic spell. You have to show any kind of magical aptitude to get in. You know, like I could just be someone with just like clairvoyance or something like that. And oh, clairvoyance! Holy shit! Talk about map markers. Clairvoyance is literally a line to tell you how to get to where you need to go next.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed style.
Yeah, I remember that was something I wanted to gripe on, but I'm gonna ignore it for now. but like Mage's Guild quest line, it's like I show up, I start lessons with that. What's that guy that you start lessons with him? I forget, but he's like, okay, let's go to these Nordic ruins and we'll go explore. Then you find the Eye of Magnus, and then it's like. Oh, hey, let's go find some info about this eye. Then the Psychic Order visits you, and they're like, oh, hey, this eye's bad. And it's like, oh, okay. And then the guy who's with the Thalmor turns out to want to use the Eye of Magnus for something, and then the Archmage is dead, so then you gotta go do the... I'm the Archmage now. It's like, it takes like 5 or 6 quests to become the Archmage of the Mage's
and
Guild.
And you don't even have to
and
be good
really
at magic.
It's frustrating. No, I can, and it's like, okay, here's my stealth archer literally sneaking around and assassinating everyone. I'm the Archmage of the Mage's Guild now. and it's like, it's such a uninspired, just not fun storyline at all. You have the Civil War quest line, not fun at all, really boring. The yeah. main quest line with being the Dovahkiin is really boring. As like all these quest lines are so boring, and none of them interact with each other at all. None of these quest lines merge. None of the NPCs give a shit about any of that. Like I said, it's like you can be the Harbinger of the Circle of Companions, and no one in Whiterun really cares. Even though like the Companions Guild is like. Situated in Whiterun, none of them really care. No one cares that you're part of the Dark Brotherhood, and it's really not a secret that you're part of the Dark Brotherhood. No one cares that you're part of the Thieves Guild, and it's not a secret that you're part of that. And you're easily put into this game, and every single thing that you touch, you're the most important part of that piece. That's what's really frustrating. I joined the Mage's Guild, and all of a sudden, I'm the most important part in the Mage's Guild. I'm the one running around doing everything. I'm the one that's now the Archmage. You join the Companions, and it's like, immediately, it's like, I'm super important, and I'm going around doing this super important stuff for them. Now, I'm the Harbinger.
Mm-hmm.
Go do anything. Go do the Dark Brotherhood quest line. And it's like... It's like, yeah, like 2 or 3 quests in, it's like, and the Night Mother's like, oh, by the way, you're the listener now. It's like, can you space it out a little bit? You can beat all of these quest lines in like an hour piece and not feel anything. Like there's no wow factor. There's nothing that goes on. The best way I've heard it described is that Skyrim is as wide as the ocean, but as deep as a puddle. And that is basically, that is my main frustration with Skyrim, is that it's, nothing really fucking matters. There's never any buildup. Right. I'll bring us back to Morrowind again. It's like, and if you want to advance in the Mage's Guild quest line, you have to have your certain skills at a certain level. You have to be a certain level, and you have to do certain quests, and a lot of them are just fetch quests for like, you have like 10 fetch quests, and then finally you get to go do something good. And it's really frustrating that you're just kind of here. This is the first, literally the same day that you met me, I am now the leader of this guild.
Yeah.
And it's just really frustrating, and I don't like it.
If you'll let me be angry for a little bit as well, because I have the exact same gripe. I'll let you guys in on a little factoid. Some of you may already know this. I've never actually beaten the main storyline of Skyrim because I've put like over 100 hours in the game. I hate the main storyline. It sucks. It's really boring. And like Devin said, there's no interaction between any of the things. No one cares. You can blow through them in like an hour. And the fact that I can be the Archmage and like the Listener and the Harbinger and Dovahkiin and like all of these things at the same time, it doesn't feel like I'm playing a character. It feels like bad character writing when like, oh yeah, this character's good at this and this and they're good at everything and there are no shortcomings with this character. It's like, well, that kind of sucks. It's not interesting. There's no interplay. And I feel like it comes back to this problem that the ultimate problem that I have with the game has a lot to do with the fact that the story's not that great. And that is the fact that when I play another RPG, I'm playing to experience more story. When I'm playing Skyrim, I don't like the story very much. I'm playing to get better. And why am I getting better? Well, it's so I can get more shit so I can get better. Whereas with other games, it's, I want to get better so that I can experience more story. I really want to be the Archmage, so I'm going to really work on my magic so that I can go and be the Archmage. I might not be able to also be the Harbinger or this or that or whatever, but like, I really want this to happen, so I'm working on that story thing. When you're in Skyrim, it's, I'm improving so that I can continue to improve, and that's about it.
Yeah, it's just like a singular track feedback loop where nothing matters. Nothing. The rewards that you get for these quest lines are insignificant because I can, going back to the crafting, I can exploit it and make shit that gives me 10 million magicka and makes my destruction spells do like 6,000% more damage. Mm-hmm. So why do I want this shitty trinket that you just gave me? It's just, I just really want there to be consequences. I want there to be, and this kind of, again, like, I feel like that whole thing with Skyrim with all these different guilds and all, and how just, you could just run through them. I think a lot of it comes from not having a class system. And not really saying, okay, we want our players to follow a role. Like, we want them to, if they make a decision, they might be locking themselves out of, allow players to make mistakes. Allow players to not be able to do that thing because they chose wrong. Mm-hmm. They chose poorly. Now, it might be like a thing that they didn't know they chose poorly, but really, who's going to know? I mean, like, going through like Dark Souls the first time and not knowing if I should accept this or not accept this, and if I didn't accept it, I'm locked out for the rest of the game. And it's like, well, cool, I didn't know that, but now I know Now I know that for next time. So now I know next time I play, I'm going to choose the other option and see where that leads. Because it also does add some replayability, and it just adds role playing whenever you have consequences for your actions. Right. If there's no consequences, there's nothing.
It's such a basic level of playability, and this isn't just for Skyrim. I mean, I've experienced this in other RPGs in terms of I don't know about video games, but especially tabletops and stuff like that. I mean, the sense of it is, and especially the sense that I get from Skyrim, is people want to be able to tell themselves and tell other people, yeah, I killed a dragon, or yeah, I'm the head of this, or yeah, I'm the chosen one, or yeah, you know, whatever. And Skyrim just fucking hands it to you. Like, if I had to keep one mod, meaning if I had to edit one thing out of the regular Skyrim, and I could only choose one, I would keep the mods that get rid of the dragons. Because the dragons were something that for the first time, maybe the first two times when they were actually difficult, and like, you know, the music is playing and it's all hyped up and all that kind of stuff. Like, I was like, whoa, this is fantastic. And you finally kill it and you're like, whoa, there's some ethereal stuff going on here in Skyrim. This is something else. And then after a while, it's just like, it just becomes prolific. Like, yep, I have full bone armor and...
that fifth dragon comes over the horizon. Then that tenth one comes and you're just like, okay, like, this is the same fucking fight I've had. It's not... The dragon fights aren't fun fights either. They're really fucking boring as well.
No.
Like, okay, well, if I'm not an archer, I'm just going to wait for it to get on the ground and I'm going to slash, 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 slash. If I am an archer or a mage, I'm going to hit it while it's in the air. It's really... The dragon fights aren't fun.
Yeah.
No, they get annoying because it's like, I'm trying to walk around and actually do stuff in this game. You know, maybe I'm trying to immerse myself or whatever and try and make up some story in my head as I'm going along. And then all of a sudden, like, the music starts playing and you're like, no, not again.
Not because it's hard, but because it's like, I just don't feel like doing that again.
Because it's annoying. And it's like, I mean, anytime I try and play now, it's like, I have to avoid any NPC at all costs. Because as soon as they open their mouths, it's like, it's just so shallow.
There's the mod that turns off, like, NPCs just talking to you like that. Because it's like, who the fuck just, if you're just walking down the street, you don't hear people just say, have you heard of the High Elves? And it's like,
what's that, somebody stole your sweet roll? And it's like, oh my god, what?
Yeah, I'm going to choke you.
Yeah.
Any final closing thoughts that people that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, D, did you have something?
In spite of all of these issues, because they're very apparent, and it really does hurt the game in terms of replayability. Some of my fondest memories, in just sort of just going through all these different video games, did come from Skyrim. I loved the story when it first. When I first sort of picked it up, but replay wise, but going back to it in different modes of play, and the random alternate start mod really saved that for me. If you want something that's really really great exploration wise, I would play around with some cool exploration mods for Skyrim, but. That's about it, really. It's just that it's hard to save this game, but it's savable for sure. It's not bad. It's just kind of boring in some cases. Yeah.
Even crafting, it's like, think about it. It's like you find a, to me, finding the damn pickaxe was the hardest part of crafting. Like, yep. where the fuck do you get this thing from? and then you finally find it, and you're just like, oh, that's right. I forget that ore is just like all over the place and it doesn't matter geographically at all. I just have to be walking and stumble upon it. And then it was just like, I mean, it was fun at first. And certainly when you get to the point where you can start crafting really epic weapons. But at that point, I mean, what are you doing? At that point, what you're doing is you're throwing a bunch of stuff together and you're like, I'm gonna go test out this new toy on this environment, which I feel like is what Skyrim is a lot of. It's like, let me go play around with the physics engine.
Mm.
So that's all I got.
Any last final thoughts?
I think we're all good here.
All right. I guess here's our little outro thing. Where do you hope that Elder Scrolls 6 is going to take place? Where do you want to see? Anyone can pick this up.
Elsewhere.
You want Elsewhere?
I want to see Elsewhere like completely revamped and reimagined, because I think there's a moon path to Elsewhere like mod or whatever, but I want the Khajiits to have like one of the best games in the industry.
Because like they live in the jungle, and by the way, Khajiits, their race spans from anything from the sentient ones that you see in the games to like house cats. Like that's all Khajiit.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah. Like the species diversity of the Khajiit genus is nuts. A new Elsewhere game would be.
You keep saying new
amazing.
Elsewhere game. Has there been an Elsewhere? Is there an Elsewhere for ESO or something? What?
I don't think there's an Elsewhere for ESO.
I don't know. What about you, Kevin?
I think I would have to agree. It's probably got to be Elsewhere. That's the only place that hasn't been done, or at least if it has, I don't remember it. And I could really go for like an installation in that area.
I'm talking ancient Vardenfell. I want Dwemerith, and I want playing as the lost people of the Dwemer. And just seeing what they, because like from my understanding, they don't do that. There is no, it's the lost people, and I want that.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're lost. They're a mystery. They're gonna remain a mystery. I want them to remain a mystery. It's because it's just so fun theory crafting, like where they went and why.
I know, but that would be so much
fun. It's so cool. Yeah. What about you, Zach?
I don't know. I think either like Black Marsh could be real cool. Also, Valenwood.
I was thinking Black Marsh. Fucking hist trees? I mean, come on. A fucking sentient race of trees? What? Black Marsh would be insane. But yeah, well, I mean, we'll see coming up, hopefully this year at E3, maybe. They'll actually have a title rather than Test 6.
I just want bugs to be fixed. I want
good luck with that.
The game to feel nice.
Keep dreaming.
Who fixes the bugs? The modders fix the bugs. It's been like that forever, and it's gonna remain like that. That's why every single Elder Scrolls game has an unofficial patch, because the modders fix everything for them, because Bethesda is garbage at bug fixing. And also, they've been using the same goddamn engine for about 15 years, 20 years now, so...
Woof.
I think, yeah, it's been
Talk
like 20 years.
Talk about perfection.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dominic, hit us with some social meets.
Absolutely. So, if you want to follow us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at @tombstone_pod. You can check us out on Instagram at @tombstone_podcast. If you'd like to check out where our main distributor is for our podcast, you can go to anchor.fm/tombstone-podcast. And then from there, we're distributed on all your favorite podcasting apps. If you want to give us some more support other than just some follows and mentions, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be really swell. And we'll be even more swell, like swollen, right? Would be if you just send us a donation at anchor.fm/tombstone-podcast/support. That would be like, that would be freaking amazing.
And you can find me on Twitch TV, Senior Bays. I stream infrequently. Yeah. Anyone
I'm
else want to plug
on
anything?
Twitch.
Janky yeah. Mickey on Twitch. He's also got the Janky Cast.
Yep, and that's about it.
That's about it, and I think that's it from us. Thank you so much, Joseph, for joining us on this adventure. This was really awesome. I hope to have you back on for some episodes down the road. I hope all you lovely listeners enjoyed us reminiscing about Elder Scrolls, and I hope some of these games kind of stick out to you, and you, if you haven't played them, you want to go play them again. If you want to play Morrowind and you have Oblivion as well, I would check out the More Oblivion mod. It's a full Morrowind fully put into Oblivion. It's I'm just got started today on it. Well, yeah, today on it, the day of recording, and hopefully it'll be a blast. And goodbye, you lovely people.
See ya.
Farewell.